Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters. Wouldn't you know it, we have another good episode. Chris, I'm just going to hand it straight over to you. I think you have a new favorite on the show.
Yeah, Crystal, the person everyone loves to hate. I love her.
She's great. You're in love with Crystal now.
She's not only passive aggressive, she's just obnoxious and really mean to everyone. So, as a vindictive, mean person myself, secretly.
Shout out to the Pop Culture Pirate, at Pop Culture Pirate. I don't know if she's listening, but we were talking a little bit on Twitter today. It got me thinking a lot about the interactions between Ari and the women, kind of really trying to think critically about the micro contact that he gets with each woman when he gets a chance to see them and how they all rotate through. And particularly how quick they all got to kissing and how important that was, right? Especially with the open conversation we're having in America now about sexual aggression and sexual assault. And it's like the expectations that women are expected to be in just in normal interactions, let alone this, you know, boiler cooker that is the mansion.
This episode proved it to me yet again. And I kept asking myself, like, is Ari being really cruel to these women? Because he did something last week where he said something like, I'm handing a rose to this person, and then he these are the last two, and then I'm not going to hand it to them. And then he did something else where he just is kind of like holding the rose and then not giving it to them. And I don't know, I feel like he's being cruel.
He might be, it might not be consciously cruel, but there was a hilarious moment this week that I think we'll get to when one of the Laurens was cut, right?
Right.
And they're playing Claire de la Lune on violins, and he picks up the rose as though he's going to give it to her, and he doesn't. And then he just waltzes around with the rose. So I hear what you're saying, ECR.
He also does it to someone. Yeah, he does that, but then he also does it to someone. Like, he was going to give it to somebody at a group date, and then he didn't give it to them. But he was like, I love the way you did this, but I'm going to have to give it to them.
Right.
And I think he's just so professional in playing the game that he is able to kind of mess with them.
Right. Well, is that being cruel in the context of what's going on in America right now with the conversations cruel?
Being way worse than other bachelors have been. Most bachelors say things like, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm going to have to let you go right now. And he had the person come back to him. He's just very, he's leading them on, I feel, for as long as possible. Whereas other bachelors have kind of laid down the law on not doing that.
Well, yeah, I think I could ask a question related to that, because cruelty to me needs to have intention behind it. And I still don't know if I think Ari is smart enough to sort of be cruel, if that makes any sense. I wonder
Nick
what you
was
think.
Cruel, because Nick was just a jerk and was in it for the wrong reason.
It's like you have to know your actions are going to do. And Ari, sometimes I see this blank behind his eyes, and I don't know his history the way you do, ECR, so that's why I think you might know a little better. But to me, what I see on the show is like, this guy is stupid and he doesn't know like all the damage he might be doing.
He seems like he's playing the game more than anyone else. And those little moments of him not cutting people when he should or kind of leading people on show me that more. Like, that's my evidence, if anyone were to say, what makes you think Ari's not a sincere bachelor? And that's kind of where I'm going with the whole.
I mean, is giving someone a chance beyond their first couple impressions leading them on?
I get the feeling he knew who he was going to cut just by the way he makes out with some and doesn't with others. Right. Like, I could, you know, and we'll get to who he cuts, but those are the moments that I see as making him be more insincere. And, like, you know, what really gets to me, too, is that he has these lines, and like I say, like I've been saying every week, it bothers me that he tries to appear sincere. Unlike someone that's super hated, like Juan Pablo, the other bachelor, he never tried to appear sincere. He was pretty honest about how he felt about things, and everyone hates him, but I hate hypocrisy more than I hate insincerity.
Right.
That's a good line he's here. I agree with that, I think. And I only have Nick to compare Ari to, because I'm a relative newcomer to the franchise, but this week he seemed very allergic to any sort of like hesitation or awkwardness on the part of the women. So he sort of, in my opinion, cut two people because they had some kind of awkwardness. And that was something that even I thought Nick was a little more receptive to, the fact that he might be nervous or not like be able to make out right away or something, like we're talking about these gender dynamics, even these problematic gender dynamics. That was something that I thought was a little weird with Ari, where he's like cutting people just because they can't immediately like submit themselves to him, is sort of the way I read it. So I'm a little more sympathetic to that this week, ECR.
Where do these women get these feelings for a guy that, as far as we've seen, literally has not said anything of substance?
I have been guilty of this when I was younger. I can get let's get to it when they get to Annalise, only because she says things that used to be, I mean, I'm much older now, that were her just, that's such a good question. And I think it Annalise kind of is a good symbol of that, or she's a good representative of what women go through in their heads when they are either rejected or when they are not in, people aren't interested in them, but they try to pull little pieces of nothing together to try to form an idea in their head that the guy is interested. I think a lot of women have done that, but I do want to get to that question. Well, I thought this was strange. So we're watching the women wrestle in this place here in northern, I mean, I think it's officially Ventura County, so it's not even in LA anymore. It's this place that has championship wrestling from Hollywood. So here's my background on it from this place. I have actually called, so this is a show, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. It's a show that airs at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. on Saturday nights, so really Sunday mornings after Cheaters.
Right.
On a local station.
Like KDOC or something.
It is on KDOC, yeah, Channel 56. I don't even know if that's true anymore. I haven't watched it since it's on.
Yeah,
oh, it is. Sure, okay. Yeah. So I came home one Saturday night and was like, whoa, there's crazy independent wrestling on TV. Let's call them. So we called the number to play for them live, because we're like, we could be on TV, because I was in a band at the time. And they are so receptive. And then it turns out that now I know a little bit more about wrestling because of my partner. And he's telling me that this place only is on Saturday. So that definitely was not a wrestling crowd. That was Bachelor fans with maybe one or two wrestling people there.
Right.
But the one thing I wanted to say about the wrestling is that, and I think Becca tried to say it a few times when they were talking, because she kept saying, "Does anyone watch wrestling? You're supposed to do this." And then if someone kept interrupting her, or no one really cared. But you're supposed to mix in a little bit of real life. So, like, making fun of Viviana's name and pulling Tia's hair, that's all kayfabe, is what they call, like, when you put a little bit of real, put a little bit of staged hatred, and that doesn't go over well with women. And I hate to make that generalization, but with men, you know, they can be a little bit more back and forth, yeah, making fun of each other, and then you get a fight.
Yeah, it was unfortunate to see, you know, the way a couple of the women interacted, because, I mean, there's a certain amount of, you signed up for this, and it seems like it's kind of like pick and choose the things you're going to get pissed off at over the course of the Bachelor season.
But then the other side of that is that, what are these Glow women promoting? The Netflix show, I'm sure they're not getting paid for it, because it's not based on their lives, per se.
This is what they do.
But they don't anymore, as far as I know.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But, I mean, this is what they're known for, and that they were hired to
give us a wrestling thing, right?
So they're going to do what they do. Acting classes, at least the ones I've taken, are literally no different than what you saw. They'll go after you if they don't think you're putting in the work to become the character.
I think I read Rachel Lindsay's the Last Bachelorette's post. I guess she writes a column every week for a upper echelon tabloid, and it was pretty, I like what she said. She said, like, that she wouldn't stand for it, and then she can't believe Viviana didn't stand up for herself more, but she was kind of like, yeah, that's not okay to do that. I mean, I understand, and I totally get it, but then again, I feel like I get wrestling a little bit more than they do, and I wouldn't be laughing at some pro wrestler ladies either, or thinking that what they do is dumb or anything that they were doing. So it's kind of in the middle for me. You know, I can see both sides for sure, and that's something I hardly ever say. So,
but then again, okay, this is why we watch reality TV, is because everyone's going to have a different response to different stimuli, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to me, the abuse was so theatrical and over the top. As an audience member, I was kind of laughing. If I were in it, I don't know, maybe I would be kind of... It depends on your constitution, I guess, if you are offended or your feelings are hurt. Because her comments to Bibiana were kind of racist, weren't they? About her name?
I mean, they were kind of classist, right? Because it's spelled wrong. And
okay. I'm just going to play the counter argument here. Nothing triggered me to think it was racist or class-based. They were hired to get in the ring and get you into the mindset of a professional wrestler. I don't see how they crossed the line.
Well, Tia got her hair pulled, and if I was a different person, I can see why that would bother me.
They want you to be bothered and then to get upset and to get into it. I mean, that's the emotions that they're looking for. And sometimes you have to push somebody to get into those emotions.
Yeah, and are they really? I mean, this is not a crowd that's ever going to be professional wrestlers or even interested in wrestling after this. So that's where I thought they seemed to almost be cracking up as they were insulting these people. And that's where I thought, okay, I don't know how seriously they're taking it. I don't know how seriously they, meaning the glob, aka glow wrestlers from the 80s who are insulting these people. And I didn't know how seriously I should take it, because they seemed like they were about to be laughing while they were, like, coming up with these insults. Right. And that's kind of what made me think, like, okay, when Becca M, decides that she's going to be a hero because she can take this abuse, I thought they look like they're, like, slamming her in the stomach in a very fake way, and she's, like, taking it. And I thought, like, oh, she's, like, trying to look like she's the biggest masochist, because that's what Ari will like. Like, she can take all of this abuse better than anyone else. I didn't understand, I guess, the offense that the two women who sat out took. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't know what the people who stuck with it got out of it, other than, as you say, Craig, it's like a gamification. It's like you look better if you can stick with it longer.
Well, it's not only that you look better, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game.
Certainly,
I understand that long history of bad things that people in power have done to people in less power that has led to Me Too is because that line was crossed. And it went from things that are tested ways of getting emotion out of people for the purposes of things like acting, and straight up verbal or mental abuse.
Yeah, I would not be upset like they are. I just thought Rachel Lindsay's point of view was interesting because she was a contestant and then a bachelorette, and she thought that was too far. And because of these girls being the kinds of women that they are, and that's not a judgment call, that's just they're raised differently, they're very different from me, and not that they grew up in a different place or a different way. I'm sure I know and I'm friends with a few of that kind of women, but I know that a lot of them can't take that. Right. You know, there's just some, like, we kind of make fun of Annalise for not being able to go on pretty much any date because she can't take it. But then there's also the kinds of women who are like, no, I won't do that. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not, I'm not comfortable. Right. And they should definitely get lower points if it's a game for not being comfortable. But they don't know, wrestling is so out of fashion that no one knows how it works anymore.
Right.
You know, it's
good point.
It's just kind of like a layer upon layer of, it's like, what does it mean? What are you trying to accomplish? Is it art? Is it sport?
Before we get onto the Lauren S date, and by the way, here is the big landmark. Only down to one Lauren we have to worry about after this.
Finally, it's fitting that she gets cut on the tried and tested private jet to Napa County date, right? Like, this is always on every episode 4 of every Bachelor season in history, and she didn't perform. Up to Ari's expectations, apparently.
He mentioned something about loving Napa, and I'm thinking, is Scottsdale the Napa of Arizona? Because it's so,
Well, anyone who knows wine, EZR, knows it's Sonoma County, not Napa County. That's where the real wine comes from.
Really?
I just drive through it to get to Solvay. I don't know much about that.
No, you don't go through Napa to get to Solvay. No.
Well, I do on my way back from San Francisco.
No, Solvang's pretty cool.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Then I'm thinking of Napa. Where is Los Olivos and all that area that's in the Solvang Valley or whatever, the San Ynez area? Doesn't that wine country too?
Yeah, but that's like where they get Ernest and Galio and all that kind of stuff, like the box wines.
Yeah, that's my favorite kind.
Okay, so when you go to the store and you go to the box wine aisle and you look up, that's where these wines come from.
Oh, I like Chablis in the box.
Sonoma County is sort of your $20 to $30 bottle of wine.
Oh,
And then Napa is going to be like your $15 to $25 bottle of wine. And Solvang area is going to be, you know, your $10 bottle of wine. And then the Central Valley, Bakersfield, that's going to be like your box wine.
But they go through Los Olivos in sideways. Isn't that the ultimate wine thing? Like, aren't they refined, those two, in the characters? They go to...
Only because it's near L.A.
Oh.
Temecula has wine, too, but I don't think any...
It's fancy now.
Wine competitions are...
Riverside wine. It's fancy. What am I talking about? Wine? I don't know what any.
That's important. For our listeners in Nebraska that might not know about the California wine scene, you know, we just gave a good overview.
I wanted to say really quickly that, you know, Ari is making out with the girls in the trailers. I don't even know where that is. It looks like this place in the desert.
Yeah, it is really bizarre. I mean, that Airstream, you walk into it, and it was like a Harry Potter bag or something where it, like, opens up into this whole house. I thought that was pretty cool, actually. But
I've been to a hotel, quote-unquote, like that. It's not a hotel. It's just a bunch of trailers that they fixed up. But it's not there because that's too far from Oxnard. You know, he's making out with these girls, and he's holding their heads, and he does the... It just kind of dawned on me when they show him too close up that he's just so, what's the word, like overdeveloped or like overgestated. Like, he looks like he's been carried. He looks like just too big, like he was a 12-month carried baby. Like, he's just, his hands are huge, like an elephant gestation.
This is a criticism of Ari I've never heard.
Really look, maybe my TV's too good, His hands are like just, it's just kind of, it, I don't want to say it's gross, but because he annoys me now, maybe I'm looking for things to annoy me about him. But there's close-ups of his hands, his mouth. He's just, I don't want to say too perfect, just too, yeah, over gestated. That's my only word I have right now.
I think that's a great description. I wouldn't have noticed that, but I like that, and I'm going to use that too. It's like everything about him, if it's too perfect, too perfectly like manicured, he's over gestated, he's too perfectly developed, he's too big. I love it, ECR.
Next time you show a close-up of his hands, Craig.
Well, he's also the first bachelor in history to ever eat during a dinner one-on-one date. And
he does eat a lot.
They milked her this whole steak-eating thing.
Yeah, ugh, yeah, it grossed me out.
So why did he cut Becca S? I mean, Lauren S. Yeah, she blabbed, and there's nothing struck me as being particularly a turnoff about her from what we...
I liked how self-aware she was to the camera.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we've all done this where, you know, you kind of, you're like, oh my God, what am I saying right now? What's going on? And then you're like, I can't stop myself.
Well, he strikes me as one of these people that doesn't talk. We all know somebody in our life like this, where they create uncomfortable silences and bait you into saying things you wouldn't say normally.
Yeah. Plus, you know that if this were a quote unquote normal date in the real world, Ari would come off as completely boring and uninteresting because he's not giving anything back.
Exactly.
And it's only because she knows she's having to like dance and impress him that she feels insecure and like she thinks she's doing something wrong. That really bothered me because I thought like in the real world, him just eating quickly and ignoring her, if you were her, you would be like, okay, I'm out of here. This guy's a dud.
Exactly. So maybe getting cut is the best thing that could happen to her.
That's kind of my original big picture overarching question is he being like, he's just sitting staring at her smiling. And maybe it's not cruelty, but is he not leading her on, but keeping her there when he knows it's over? He reaches for the rose and he holds it in front of him like, can't give you this. So sorry. And it was rude, at least. And he's done that before to other girls in rose ceremony, you know, not in rose ceremonies, but in the group dates. And let's see, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but I'm sure he's going to keep doing that kind of thing.
All right. So, yeah. Okay. So his rose behavior is not exemplary. The way he goes to cut somebody. But I think we're creating a consensus here between the three of us that, kind of going back to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, where, you know, he like literally has not given anyone anything of substance. We're basically confirming that and adding to that this notion that he just makes people uncomfortable and say things that he doesn't want. And if this was a normal date, to use Chris's phrase, probably wouldn't have been a good date. So, you know, maybe that's why Becca M is so attracted to him, because she is that type of personality that can overcome that. And as a quiet person, he probably is attracted to a sort of outgoing Becca M type. And maybe Becca M's into that quite reserved person. And in this case, Lauren S isn't, right? It's just incompatible. So again, I don't know if that's being insincere on Ari's part. He's just being who he is, and it's not working out.
Well, he also uses the line, the bachelor line that we should have a little song for. I don't want to take you away from your family, or, you know, I don't want to take, which is
weird.
Which is like so lame, because she doesn't have a, I mean, her, you know, she's a 30-year-old that she's got to go home to her mom and dad. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems so. It's like, you talked about your family. Well, I don't want to take you away from them any longer. Right. You have to go back. So it's a good line if they have kids, and that's it.
Yeah, it was the line to signal, I'm trying to let you go politely to the audience, but you know what's going down here. You're gone, kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. But don't you agree, that moment we just had with the violins playing while he's going around with the rose? It's so comical. Like, I can't imagine the shoot where he agreed to do that. Where he's like walking around with the rose
they
while
were
the violins
to, are playing. They were supposed to go upstairs and dance or whatever, make out. I'm not sure, with violins.
Here's the
playing.
Window where he's standing with the rose in front of the window.
and the you know they're still playing. They gotta play. Because they already got booked for the, you know, whatever. I guess everything closes early. So there's nothing much to do. And he, you know, the world's tiniest violin plays.
At least they didn't leave her on an island in the cold rain like that one time.
I love those scenes. I think they're poetic. I really do like the. This one is funny, but those scenes are like, they seem epic to me. This one was ridiculous because.
Dancing by himself to the already hired violinist.
Well, yeah, that was ridiculous because that especially made me think, like, Ari loves when something like this, or even if he doesn't love it, he's perfectly happy to go along with the effects of what he's wrought, you know?
I was thinking about the... Well, I was thinking of what you were saying when we get to Annalise Christopher about if she is... If she is being manipulative more, just to make double sure that she isn't. But I still don't think she is, honestly.
Annalise?
Yeah, Annalise.
Yeah. We're getting to some of the promos. I suppose since we're talking about the episode, there aren't any spoilers here, but getting cut eventually. And I don't think so either. I thought she acted in a similar vein to the Lauren that just got cut, where she was pretty self-aware. And wanted to eventually, like, confront Ari directly about, listen, do you want me here or not? I had a lot of respect for how she acted this episode.
Yeah, that was strange, especially when she's been so scared. And then she, you know, I was just thinking that I have a relative who, my mom's from Europe, my dad's from this continent. And I have a relative from Europe that, because I want to make sure no one knows who it is. I have who sat down and watched Dateline over the Christmas break. I was watching Dateline and they sat down. What are you watching? Oh, I'm watching Dateline. You know, it's a show about murders now.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. They were like, oh, no.
Murder porn. No.
Yeah, well... That's what men call it when they want to make fun of girls. No, I don't want to get into it, but
I Dateline personally.
I love Dateline. And they were like, oh no, I can't watch this. It's too violent. You know, nothing was happening. There was no murder on it. They were just talking about the case, and they couldn't take it. And they got up and walked out of the room, not offended, but couldn't watch it. And that was ridiculously sensitive in my head. I'm not going to make fun of this person to their face, or I think they're a great person, but I thought that was ridiculously sensitive. And that's kind of how I thought of Annalise until the very end. Like, is she just, because one trauma, but then she's saying she also has all these
traumas. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'll say I respect how she left it. I'll still make fun of the, you know, these moments that are so hilarious to me to the end. I love these moments of her traumas, so I'm equally cruel. No, yeah, I'm watching the flashbacks that whoever the editor or producer was that decided to have the dogs barking and the child crying. I love that, and it made me think, it makes her look pretty pathetic, but... I'm just saying, at the end, she seemed very self-aware about, like, listen, if we have no physical chemistry, if I can't kiss him and he doesn't want that, there's no point in me being here. I thought that's more maturity than a lot of people in the show, you know?
Yes, the way she confronted it, you know, he's like, I'm not ready to kiss you now.
Rather, she knows what that means.
Well, she kind of attacked it right away. She's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go back, and if we don't kiss, then that's it. And yeah, that was a really mature thing to do. The likes of which we haven't seen on The Bachelor many times before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, can I just say, Ari's like, we're at the famous Grove in Los Angeles. I had a little thing about this on Twitter. So for those that don't live in Los Angeles, the Grove is an outdoor shopping mall that fills a need for the middle class that likes chain restaurants and stores and live in the congested middle part of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd call it famous. I think if you asked people that live not in the Wilshire area of LA if they would call it famous, I don't think there would be much agreement there. Unless, you know, you like Cheesecake Factory. Although there is a nice French restaurant on the second story.
Well, in the post-apocalyptic world of LA, the fountains will still be running in the Grove, and it'll be famous then.
Because there's never a water shortage at the Grove.
I also love they brought Fred Willard in here.
This is the worst date. The worst date I've ever seen. It's so boring.
It makes no sense. And I couldn't remember this happening. I don't know if I... Oh, you know what it was? I can actually explain to you why I don't remember this.
I think I know what you're about to say, Craig. Let's see if I'm right.
This one might be a little far-fetched. So over here, I have a TV that's hooked up to broadcast digital television. Now, for those of you that have never watched television over the airwaves, ever since they went digital, there's all these extra stations now because it doesn't cost the television stations anymore to broadcast more channels on the space that was previously occupied by analog broadcasts. So television stations like Channel 7, which is ABC here, will have a 7.2 and a 7.3. And these are channels that will only show up over the airwaves. They don't show up on your cable. And they just show random stuff. Like I said, it's kind of a freebie for the station. They can throw commercials in on these old shows that they've already paid off the licenses for. And you'll find all this really bizarre stuff. So, Chris, you'll appreciate this. The first time I ever saw Heat was on 5.2 KTLA.
This.
It was at like...
Is it this?
3 in the morning.
My favorite channel?
Yeah, like this TV, yeah.
I love this.
It was at like... it was a period of time, a number of years ago, when I was having insomnia.
Yeah.
Heat comes on, and I was like, yes.
You needed some De Niro. You needed some Pacino.
I had no idea.
Heard
of this movie, and I'm sitting here watching what's like possibly the most epic movie of all time. This is so great. I also saw The Game for the first time on that channel. So anyway, I started to drift towards that channel last night during low points of The Bachelor because they were rerunning, I think it was Different Strokes or something. It kind of draws you in at late at night because your brain is kind of wired to feel comfortable around that aesthetic.
Yeah.
And Chris, you're an aesthetic person that likes aesthetics, so I imagine you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I like to be, you know, I like the opiate of comfortable aesthetics that slowly kill you. So I like those things. But I thought you were going to go toward when Bear Grylls falls in love with Rachel Lindsay at the dog party. Didn't that remind you of this a little bit? Like this was the dud version of that. Do you remember that?
Yes. Right. So that was Luke. Was that? No, that wasn't Luke. That was.
Oh, shoot. Was it Luke?
The guy
it was Peter, wasn't it?
It was Peter. Peter from Wisconsin.
That was his name, I think.
They were up on the mountain.
He's here, you'll know.
Up on the Matterhorn in the blizzard, and he's talking with Rachel Lindsay. And that's the Bear Grylls moment.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can see what you're saying, but this seemed in a whole different place than that. And like I said, I have no memory of it because I must have... Maybe I dozed off to, like, Different Strokes or something.
Well, I can see that. He quickly moves on to Chelsea here, who... I think she gets most of the airtime during that dog party that you're talking about, and then he gets a one-on-one with her.
Have you ever gone up into the higher channels on broadcast digital television?
Oh, my gosh. There's you have no idea how many... Shit. When I didn't have cable and that came out, I spent so much time. And what really strikes me about all that, because I am also a fan of aesthetics. When it comes to like old TV being comforting, the whole formulaic sitcom, and they're like, I have to make 500 pillows. Like, how are they going to get out of this one? That was an episode of 227, this weird apartment show that now they run on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. What really gets to me about that is that they get all these great shows, but they can never name the network. Right. They have the most horrible names. There's this. There's movies. There's Laugh, LAFF.
Right.
There's
comedy.tv. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You get up until like the 500s or something. There's a channel that just Vietnamese home shopping network 24 hours a day. And then there's another channel that, as far as I can tell, is only plays Japanese TV commercials. Like, there's no actual shows. It's just 30 seconds. It's a new commercial for 24 hours a day.
There was a channel that used to only run Bollywood trailers.
Yes. I know that channel.
Yeah. And I got stuck, you know, on it for... Because you're like, what's going to happen? The whole trailer tells me everything. Yeah,
you don't want to change the channel because you're afraid you're going to like miss that next
great... Or sometimes, yeah, if you change the channel, you'll lose it forever because then you move it, you move your, you know, it's what I really hate about digital is I love all that except that you don't get a little bit of static if it doesn't come in.
Yeah, it's either all or nothing. Yeah, it just stops. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'd love to talk to like a physicist to know how you can be watching something for 30, 40 minutes, perfectly fine, and then for a minute it'll be gone. What changed between my antenna and their antenna that decided that there's not going to be a signal for a minute?
I have this... I can't even tease myself with those channels anymore. So I only put it on when there's I Love Lucy in the mornings because I like a random episode. I don't like watching it. Sorry, Chris. Sorry.
Well, if he ever comes on again, you can expect a late night text message for me. Fire up your broadcast television.
By the way, our undercover one of the undercover front runners here is Jenna, back to Bachelors. That we haven't discussed yet because she comes on this like a little vixen lady, but she totally makes out with him. She's the one in the heavy makeup.
Is she the one that kind of like mounts him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wearing white?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved about that is Annalisa's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to get physical with him. And she walks out and she's like basically dry humping him. This is so funny. She's like, I don't know if anyone else is gotten physical with him. She walks out there.
They've kind of bunched her into a, you know, here's another one who is interested in him, or here's another, but she it was very physical and very forward. I was like, who's this? Yeah. But they're not focusing in on her the way they focus in on other ones, who, you know, on Crystal, who's gotten physical, or Chelsea, who makes out with them every chance.
A lot like a character development episode. If this was a episodic television show, you'll have a lot of action, and then they'll have to pop, you know, like slow down for an episode or two to develop the characters. We can't kind of eliminate people without really understanding them first. And so I feel like that'll free us up for the next episode to start reintroducing other people like Jenna.
But Jenna hasn't talked to the camera, hasn't. They just show us these salacious. My thinking was, who is that? You know, where did she come from?
Yeah,
just
I'm with
doing
you
that?
There.
I feel like I know ones who haven't gotten.
The fun of The Bachelor is that we don't know who any of these people are half the time.
Well, we're supposed to be watching a beautiful love story developing.
Right.
And so if they ignore her, it's very hard to, you know, I'm thinking, where is this? Who's this?
Well, these early weeks are tough. And even this week, Chris Harrison made some comment like there are a lot of people left for the third week.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Yes.
So. But I had the same thought. I was wondering, who is that person? Because I know what you mean. It was like some interview that was going, and then they showed the making out as like B-roll, and she was like lunging across at him. And I was thinking, who is that? Because it was like the most awkward makeout. And then she started straddling and mounting him. And I thought, this is very physical, and I had forgotten it. But yeah, Jenna, I think in weeks past, she's a little bit of a live wire, like a crazy person, a little bit, right?
Oh, she's the one who came up to him and sized him up with her, like performed a curse on him with her hands.
Oh, really?
That isn't that her?
I think it was something like that. Yeah. Hopefully, in weeks that follow, we'll know for sure. But I remember, and I watched with my girlfriend, and she had said, oh, that's the crazy one, is what she knows her as. So I had forgotten, but I think she has that
kiss.
Reputation.
I mean, except for Annalise, he basically kisses every woman by this point, and I think that's...
But he hasn't kissed any of the African-American, except the one the first night, but nothing after that. The African-Americans... or the I'm guessing South Asian, Indian.
Indian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Only the.
Are we thinking the restaurant owner heir?
Right.
Yes, and there's another person. Malik. Yeah.
It's interesting how those issues around it. It is the three women of color that are the ones on the couch saying that they're not getting the time, and it's interesting. Now that I think about it, it just had a season where Rachel was the first black bachelorette and race was required to be part of every conversation despite Rachel's attempts to sort of downplay those. And it's interesting to see how the women of color have suddenly gotten pushed back, whether that's a socially constructed thing, like these women are enacting a construct that they've seen and therefore fall into that role, or if maybe the editors are consciously or subconsciously editing them in that way. But the fact that they haven't made out with him, as far as we know, is...
Right. Well, yes. But the first night, I think it was Brittany made up with him, who was...
Well, she won
one of the African-Americans.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it was like a joke kind of make out. It was like a... Oh,
she got the first kiss, right?
Kiss you. Yeah. And then there was, and I guess if we're being fair, which I'm not happy about, Becca Martinez is his, whatever. Becca. I don't,
Ooh, Becca.
Becca, yeah. Probably marks it down to get into college if she went or if she's planning on going.
That's the best comment so far.
Speaking of Becca, did you notice in the ending preview she said she's going to talk about her age?
Yeah,
that woke me up from my little KTLA channel 5.2 haze. I sprung out of bed. By the fifth episode, we gotta wait.
Well,
I really wanted it to be super uncomfortable when they got to the fantasy suite, and that's when the age conversation happened.
She had one of the best lines for me tonight, which is something like, you know why you're attracted to me? Because I'm not safe.
Right.
Something like that.
That is the one thing I wanted to make sure we talked about, because this is so complex. So this is a lie on top of a lie on top of a half-truth. So she says, you want me because I don't need you, right, and you're used to picking people that really need you.
Right.
And so I'm this wild card, basically.
Like single moms.
Yes, she does point out single moms, saying that he likes single moms because he feels comfortable with them. I'm guessing that's where she was going with it, that he feels comfortable with single moms, and then he becomes like insta-dad. And that's a great feeling for him because he feels...
Or the provider or whatever, yeah.
Right. It's like playing house, right? That's a kind of a bad... thing to do, of course, because then it's bad for the kids because he leaves. Apparently he lived with a woman and played dad, and now he's not maybe he's in their lives, but that's not good for kids. He agrees with what she says, so in my eyes, he's her story, her narration, what she says is true, is covering for his cover of being insincere. So it's kind of like when someone says something that better than what you know is true, and you go, you got me. You're right.
Okay.
I actually think that's kind of brilliant, ECR, because I think she's giving like an 18-year-old pop psychology 101 kind of read, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's too sophisticated a read for what he's doing, but... whether it's what you say or he just doesn't have any thoughts in his mind, that he seems like the kind of person that if you say any psychobabble thing to him, he'll say, wow, that's profound kind of thing.
Which is exactly what, like, he says.
That's what he says. He's like, oh, you get me way too much. It's scary. Or
he's
something
like
that.
Yeah,
and the way she says it is so cutesy poo and manic pixie dream girl of like, I'm going to disappear the second you close your eyes kind of thing, that he is so entranced, maybe because she's, she's doing the perfect cutesy thing, that it is such a great classic Bachelor moment if we're thinking about what's really happening behind. Right.
Well, we of course talked about this a lot on our last episode. Hopefully our listeners heard that a well-rehearsed act, or this is she's just really comfortable like this, and this is what she wants, or was she taught, or did she learn these ways of acting, and is that a bad thing or a good thing? I mean, we could obviously go on and on about that again. But well, she keeps upping the ante, which she took what happened last week and gave us all that fodder to talk about that, which I thought was really interesting. And she just upped it now by going with another very tactical move to pull him in using How to Get a Guy in 100 Days or whatever that book is, you know?
To be fair to her, when you're young, that young, you feel profound. And when you say something and an adult, 36-year-old compared to whatever, 22-year-old, right, agrees with you, and, you know, you're just going on instinct, that's got to be satisfying for her. I don't even know if that is rehearsed or if that's her trying to rope in someone.
Well,
but it did feel like he got called on something way better than what he's actually doing.
I mean,
and so he was like, oh good, I'm glad you didn't say I'm being fake.
Well, what she said, hold on a second, I don't want to get into an argument, but
yes, you
is what she said really that, I mean, what she said was kind of right on in a way. The single mom thing was a low blow. Maybe he does like women that need him. I've never had a woman like desperately need me for reasons other than, I guess, just wanting to date, like, because I'm not like rich or I don't know, own a big house or anything like that. But like, it's for her to call him out, I think, is kind of interesting and probably true. And I think I don't mind it when somebody point something out about me, because it just shows that they're paying attention to me, right? If someone turned over and said, Craig, I think this and this about you, and it's somewhat profound, I would think, wow, that she's really been paying attention to me. Is there something here?
But maybe that's true in his real life, but on The Bachelor, that's not exactly true. I mean, it's true in the big picture in that, wow, you actually have 30 women wanting you. Yes, that's true. But if they have the means to get on a show and they're probably going to try to make a side business out of it, then not really. So what she's saying might be true in real life, but not on The Bachelor. You know, these women on some level are self-sufficient.
I mean, she's just going on the current data. He fell head over heels with the bachelorette that broke his heart, who had a kid. And he gave the first impression rose to a woman that has a kid.
Right. That's true, except that...
I mean, she kind of pieced it together, and I think
right,
I'm willing to give her credit for that.
That's superficially true, and I give her credit for that, too. But I think that he's insincere, and that's the nicest thing I can call it. So...
Well, wait, hold on a second, though. I don't want to discount what you said, but aren't we talking about Becca M. here?
Oh, you think she's being insincere on top of...
Well, Becca M., I'm still kind of fascinated by where we think she is on that whole spectrum.
Oh.
And this just kind of, like, ups the ante in the level of complexity of her character.
Yeah.
But she, like, doubled down on what she gave us last week.
I don't know if what she says about Ari really is true, though. I'm more inclined to believe what ECR speculates, because he just seems to go with anyone that is willing. I don't know if it's that it's like a need for him, because there are people outside of single moms and so on the show that give him attention that he likes. And she is trying to say that as though she's different from the type that she's laid out. But she is completely acting into that same type. We've never seen her do anything except need him and make out with him and play exactly into what he wants.
Right. She hasn't really provided much substance either.
Yeah. So that's where I don't know. If I thought Ari were more self-aware, right, it's like, if you were saying something to someone who had contemplated themselves and really knew themselves and was surprised, you know, that someone pegged them for who they were, that might be one thing. But it's like, I don't think Ari would have thought that about himself before she said that. So I don't know if he could have that realization in that moment. I don't know. I just thought it was more, I see it more as like an act where it's like, wow, it sounds like she's saying things that are really deep and profound, and I better say, wow, you really get me. I don't think you even get yourself, dude. That's kind of what I thought.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stand by my having a girl point out something is something that people like to hear.
Well, we'll see more of Bika's intentions. So I wanted to get to the whole Annalise thing we were talking about earlier, because I think it's really important that you guys as men understand what women do, and not because not for shaming purposes, but because it's really crucial to, I mean, and we're all, it's really crucial to understand it, but we're all a little bit older where that hopefully I'll never do that again. And hopefully women that are interested in you guys and you're not interested in, will never do that again either, because we're older. That's something you do when you are younger. And you know, there's a whole Sex and the City episode about it. There's a whole movie about it called He's Just Not That Into You.
Right.
And there's a book, and a guy got a show because of a saying, and he wrote a whatever. Like, it's almost like a pop-up book. It's like has 10 sentences per chapter. It's so small and ridiculous for one line. But here she goes trying to justify that he likes her. And she says things like, I've heard plenty of stories of couples in offices who don't even notice each other or like each other at first, and then they get married. You know, she goes into overdrive of trying to justify any little thing that's ever happened between them to hopefully to not feel the pain of rejection.
Right.
Mm. And it's so sad because she's scrambling for... You know, it's like picking up crumbs when she sees people walking out with, like, I don't know, loaves of bread. She sees people making out maybe in front of her face. Right.
Yeah,
and she is like, oh, my God, please, like, you know, I have to hear something from you that's positive, that's affirming. And then she goes back and he has a lot of trouble letting her down at all.
That's true. I hear what you're saying, but don't you think that she highly suspects that Ari doesn't like her?
So that's the saddest part, is that, I mean, I don't want to say it's sad, because people should know better. I should have known better. Anyone should have known better. But when something bad happens, like rejection...
Mm-hmm.
You try to look at the positive and think, oh, no, that person is still, you know, is it still salvageable? We can still do this. Maybe this happened. And it happens all the time. I don't say that. I can see why she's not giving up.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying in principle, but I just thought on Annalise... The way I read it was more like she thought she was done, and she was getting confirmation that it was over, more than the he's just not that into you, like I've got to keep fighting for this person that probably likes me, but just, you know, doing these things that, yeah, this kind of programming from when we're young that like guys who like girls are mean to them, so that you must like her. And no, that's not true. Because I thought she was basically going to get rejected, basically. And I might have misread that. And I'd like to hear what you think if that's true. But that's kind of what I respected about it. Is like, I thought, okay, I think this guy doesn't like me. And she even says that after she goes out from that one-on-one. Like, I bet I'm going home tonight. And all the girls around her are like, no, what's up?
Yes,
and she's like, no.
That's what they do, yes.
Yeah, but she's the one who's like, no, I think I am, and she goes to get confirmation, and then she goes home, and I thought, wow, she really, went head into that.
I can play you the thought process precisely, like, that goes through her head, probably. She goes to the women to get confirmation. She goes to the women basically to feel like that's not true. She doesn't go because she... is confirming what she thinks. She's going to get this, no, it's fine.
I don't see.
Overreact.
Okay.
And that's one of the what, like, one of the worst things you can, like, one of the, that's one thing you shouldn't do, because that's the moment that anyone who kind of understands those situation will say in that moment, oh, he's just not that into you, quotes, right? That's when you're supposed to say that. If you feel that way, then you should think that it's a no. But this is all what's going on the women's side. What I think men need to do that is super important in this is be able to say no. And I mean, firmly say no, or very, not almost say no, or not say maybe someday, or we'll see, or let's think about it, or whatever, whenever they get confronted. I think that is the biggest detriment to women understanding what's really going on, is that men tend to not say no.
Right. Well, Daniel Tosh, I might have mentioned this in a past podcast, but Daniel Tosh goes on about that, about how guys don't like the breakup, so they'd rather come home and have their girlfriend there cheating with another man, because then it's just like over, than to have to break up with a woman.
But that well, is so far into it. I'm talking about really early on, when guys won't say no to a girl, especially if they don't know them. If they know them, I feel like yes, that's true.
It's called keeping your options open.
Right. Well, I can't speak to how, you know, that early in the relationship, but I will say, just my memory, Craig has been very consistent on this throughout the few seasons of Bachelor Masters. He has said that if he were to generalize in terms of genders, that men don't want to break up with women. And so I guess that does play into this conversation a little bit.
Well, you know, in this case, I was more, I don't want to say, I wasn't being judgmental of Annalisa, I don't want to say Annalisa, but she was playing this, I want to say almost script out in her head, that is very common when you are in essence rejected, but haven't heard the rejection words yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for when it happens to realize it's happening. I feel like a lot of people don't do that.
I think that's a good point.
And that was my, sorry. And that was my point on the woman's side.
I could see if maybe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong from seeing this from the other, from, you know, a male side too. It's like, you want to be able to kind of be aware enough and empathize enough where it's like, if it's someone that a male in, you know, a heterosexual couple doesn't think there's anything there, and you see someone who thinks there might be something there, don't lead that person, like, communicate. It's a little different than putting someone, like, on the back burner, or someone that, you know, maybe you might see, like, a casual potential with. It's like, if it's like, okay, I know we have a fundamental mismatch here, communicate that clearly. Does that seem right, ECR?
Yeah. And this is a strange situation because it's not exactly like in real life.
So that's a good point.
So he early on, he knows when it's not right and not wrong. But if us commoners are going to take anything away, is that women need to recognize when you are justifying something that's not going to happen. And men need to recognize when someone's trying really hard, or maybe, I don't know if he doesn't know, or if he knew. I mean, it's Ari, so yes, he knew. I think he was being, again, cruel, or at least rude. In real life, I think we know when someone likes us, and we want to push it as far as we can until they make us reject them. And that's not okay. I think, I don't think it has anything to do with the conversation on sexual assault or anything like that. I really think it's a more of like a decency of a, you know, you can be decent to someone who is the opposite sex, well, and you could have had interest in.
Speaking of cruel, I'll be cruel. So Bibiana says, I deserve somebody, you know, for me or whatever. And whenever I hear somebody say, I deserve somebody, or I deserve to find love, I always think to myself, like, you haven't really given us any reason to think you deserve love. Like, maybe you don't deserve love.
Old-fashioned or some particular view of love. Right. That it's like when people say they deserve love on this show, I don't know exactly what they mean. Because it's like, I would guess, I'm not sure, I can speak for myself, but sort of like, the validation and like love that I think of that I would find in real life is nothing like the romantic love on this I would never think I would find that what they're looking for on this show in my real life. So, and I don't necessarily want to look for that. So yeah, I don't know. Do you deserve what you're looking for on this show?
Right.
I'm a shit asshole to ask about that. I don't know. I'm not the right person.
Ari has that same reaction every time he cuts somebody. You're such an amazing person. Right. What are they talking about? What makes you think
well, you have to say that, though. I mean, 22
is
years of
every
Bachelor,
human. Every human being on Earth is an is that true? That's very hard for me to think about. I don't know what that means either. Really,
yeah.
I've never said that to anybody. I've never really thought that because people are complex and
right.
I want Ari's parents to have to answer that question. His mom, especially, who's
I hope we get to see them again soon. I could use a dose of.
It's like your father's cheated on me throughout his life, but we love each other.
This is the end. Okay, well, this is the end.
Yes.
My head's kind of spinning. I feel this was a different tone to our Bachelor podcast. Slower and more deliberate in our conversations with each other. But I'll make sure to drink more caffeine next week.
Well, and I'll say after, because I know intern / Craig, who handles our Twitter handle, would never say
social
that we've had
intern, yeah.
Bachelor royalty tweet at us. I think we'll see an uptick this week. And, you know, it's been a good discussion for all the new listeners. Hello. And all the old listeners, we still value you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Is your mom still listening to the podcast, Chris?
You know, I've got a coworker who listens pretty frequently. My mom dips in every now and again. Who knows if she'll be in this week, but if so, hello, Mom. Thanks for putting Grandma Pat into that facility this week.
Thanks for very nice. Giving us Chris.
Sad.
Yes.
Right. Well, it was a pleasure as always, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.